Will you pray with me? God of story and song and soil, creator of all things, please be with me and with all of us as we search for your life-giving ways in these old and new words. Amen. Mary Jo Leddy, the Canadian writer, speaker, theologian, and founder of Romero House, starts her most recent book in this way. A story is told of the encounter between a Tsimshian chief and one of the first explorers as he arrived on the Pacific Northwest coast in the area now known as British Columbia. "Why are you here?" asked the chief to the European. "Why are you here?" We have no reports of what the explorer answered, but we do know that the question is still with us. The question winds its way through the centuries and up through the layers of soil and spirit and self. It is a question that shapes cultures, nations, and empires. Why are you here? It is a question that we ignore at our peril. But if we listen to the chief's question in all its length and breadth and depth, it resounds as a fundamental spiritual question, a spiritual question that lies beneath the surface of our more obvious preoccupations and conventional ways of seeing and being as individuals and as a nation. Why are you here? Every society has a founding myth or story, a story that serves as a touchstone, a key point of reference from which and in which that society moves and develops. These stories are a nation's memory. They are a way of forming and continuing values and traditions from generation to generation. The ancient Greeks believed that the goddess of memory was the mother of imagination. For the biblical nation of Israel, memory was more often the mother of the faith. And this is what we encounter in our text from Deuteronomy 26 that Doug read for us earlier. Okay, here's the scene. Moses and the Israelites have just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. There has been much hardship and strife. They have been hungry and heavy laden. But in all their hard journeying, God has not forsaken them. God has provided manna from heaven and water from stones. And now, finally, at long last, they stand on the plains of Moab, just across the Jordan River from what would become their homeland, a land of abundance, flowing with milk and honey, the text says, a promised land. This is the climax of the Exodus story, that long journey out of slavery in Egypt. They are almost there, just a few more steps. But there on the plains of Moab, just across the Jordan from all they have been yearning for and dreaming of, this is where Moses stops the procession. He stops the people because he has something to tell them. He knows that his journey is at an end. He will die before entering the promised land. He has played his part, and the next generation will need to lead the people into their new tomorrow. Tradition says that the book of Deuteronomy is a retelling by Moses to the people of the whole story of the nation, how they got to this point, everything they have done, left undone, and gone through within the covenantal relationship with God. It is a retelling of why they are here. Remember. Remember the ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, Moses tells the people. Remember that God heard our cries in Egypt. Remember that God gave us a law to live by. Remember our failings and our temptations, our idolatry and our sins. Remember our wanderings, and remember that no matter what has happened or will happen, God is with us. Remember, Moses says, why we are here, to be a people of God. Tell the story. Tell the story again and again and again so that it becomes part of who you are as individuals and as a nation. Make the story part of your worship. Allow it to be the touchstone for your life, guiding your thoughts and words and actions. Remember our story. Let it soak into the soil and spirit and self. Tell your children, so that they may tell theirs and they may tell theirs. Don't take anything for granted. Write the law upon your hearts. Keep the covenant with God. This is how you will be the kind of nation that will be a light to the nations. This is why you are here on this promised land. At this time of year, when the air turns crisp and the leaves change color, I am reminded once again of how much I love this country. I absolutely love this country, and I'm so thankful to be a Canadian. We will all have different stories of Canada to tell, but my story is one of Mr. Dressup's tickle trunk and looking up, way up, to greet the friendly giant. It's the smell of ancient coastal rainforests and the sight of snow geese sparkling in a prairie sky. It's eating my way around the world just by walking down the Danforth. It's our healthcare system. It's kindness and hard work and not taking ourselves too seriously. It's onion rings at the rink after the hockey game. It's we the North and OK Blue Jays in the seventh inning stretch. It's Saskatoon berry pie. It's gross morn in the morning mist. It's that little jump my heart still makes when we are mentioned on American television. It's Elizabeth Manley's silver medal celebration. It's Gord Downie's final bow. It's Leonard Cohen in a black fedora holding a microphone like a lover singing a cold and a broken hallelujah. I love this country. I also acknowledge that the story I know, or at least the one I have chosen to know most of my life, is not the complete story of this country. In school, I was taught that Canada was formed by two founding nations, the French and the English, the two solitudes, as they are called, that still exist even now, 155 years after Confederation. However, the story we are now in the process of learning is that there were, or at least there should have been, three groups in the origin of Canada: the newcomers, the French and the English, and the original inhabitants, the indigenous people of this land, a people whose stories had been soaking into the soil and spirit of this land for time immemorial, a people who initially welcomed the newcomers, who taught them how to survive on this land, who signed treaties in good faith to care for and share in the abundance of this land. Especially since the release of the Truth and Reconciliation Report in 2015, we are learning a different story of our country. We are learning that the failure to acknowledge, to include, to respect the existence and cultures of Indigenous peoples constitutes what could be called the original sin of this country. It is a sin that was codified by Canada's government with the highly invasive and paternalistic Indian Act of 1876. It was a sin that was enforced by many Canadian churches, including our own, through participation in the residential school system, and entrenched by Christian teachings such as the doctrine of discovery and the principle of terra nullius, meaning empty land, which justified European nations claiming this land for their own people and purposes. The impact of our nation's original sin has been devastating on Indigenous culture, language, spirituality, and identity. When we look at the story of Canada, the real story, the hard story, for too much of our history, the question of why are you here, that fundamental spiritual question asked by the Tsimshian chief, has been answered by acts of domination and with broken covenants. The Israelites had just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They had endured hardship and hunger. They had bickered and quarreled with each other, but here they are. Here they are on the plains of Moab at the threshold of their promised land. But before they go forward into their new future, Moses holds them back. He has something to tell them. There is abundance here. A land flowing with milk and honey. There is enough for all to make a home here, to build a life here for generation after generation. But there is also temptation here. Abundance can be a temptation that can lead to sin. Abundance can lead to greed. It can lead to hoarding. It can lead to distrust and dishonesty. It can lead to a culture that craves more and more until everything is consumed or destroyed. Abundance can lead to the zero-sum thinking that says, for me to have more, you must have less. That's the temptation of abundance. And so Moses stops the people. He stops the march forward and slowly and carefully retells them their story, their whole story, not just the parts they want to hear, but the whole story with all the messy and embarrassing and uncomfortable bits intact. But Moses assures them that even in the face of everything they have done and left undone, God is still with them. The same God that heard their cries in Egypt and liberated them from oppression is the same God who journeyed with them in the wilderness, is the same God who has now given them a home. Their story as a nation is the story of a gracious and liberating God. It is also the story of a God who expects covenants to be kept and abundance to be shared. God is still active, bringing grace and liberation and abundance. And the appropriate response to all that God is doing is gratitude. It is gratitude. It is thanksgiving. As Moses tells the people, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall set them down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house. The first fruits are not given to earn God's favor, but in response to God's blessings. Grace leads to gratitude. And gratitude delivers us from the temptation and sin of greed. You shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. The story that Moses tells ends in celebration. It ends in a great feast of thanksgiving where everyone, the insiders and the outsiders, the saints and the sinners, the first and the last, are all fed from God's abundance. Remember. Remember all that God has done for us. Don't take anything for granted. Tell the story again and again. This is how you will be the kind of nation that will be a light to the nations. This is why you are here, here on this promised land. Except for the indigenous peoples of this country, we have all come from somewhere else. Perhaps very recently, or perhaps centuries ago, we or our ancestors have all been newcomers to this land, all looking for a better future for themselves and their families. Migrants and immigrants, refugees and asylum seekers, we are all here for a reason. We are not meant to stay wandering in the wilderness. We want a home where we can love and be loved, a home to be who we are and live in peace, a home where our children and grandchildren can have a future. As a people, we live, work, and worship on ancient land where stories and wisdom have soaked deep into the soil over millennia. But the nation of Canada is still a very young country. We are still finding ourselves, defining ourselves. The question asked by the Tsimshian chief is still our fundamental spiritual question. And to answer it well, we need to know and to own our foundational story, even if it is a hard story to tell. We need memory. We need memory because it is memory that gives birth to imagination. In order for our nation to be the light it can be, it requires shining a light on our past. It requires understanding that while we may have a hard story to tell, it is still being written in our living here and now. And as a Christian church that had a role in our original sin, we have a role in setting things right. Consider that this church building dates back to 1872, meaning that people about my age are the sixth generation of Christians to worship on this land. This parallels the six generations of Indigenous people that have been living under Canada's Indian Act. There's a Haudenosaunee principle that says the decisions we make today should result in a sustainable and peaceful world seven generations into the future. As a church and as a nation, by more fully understanding our story now, by shifting our understanding and awareness now, by understanding our priorities better now, by living into the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission now, by answering the question, why are you here differently now? The next generation of Indigenous and non-Indigenous Canadians may live in a new and covenantal way with each other on this land of abundance, where there is more than enough for all. Why are you here? As you participate in your Thanksgiving celebrations this weekend, I invite you to reflect on your story and the story of your people and how you came to be here in this land of abundance and promise. In this time of overlapping global crises, I invite you to reflect on how blessed you are to be here in this imperfect but beautiful and big-hearted country. I invite you to reflect on all that God has done in your life, even in your difficult times, to remember your blessings. Don't take anything for granted. Have a covenantal heart. And then take the first fruits of your life, your imagination, your creativity, your passion, your skills, and give them back to God. Give them back to God in acts of kindness and healing and justice and thanksgiving. The natural response to God's grace is gratitude. As Brother Cohen reminds us, and even though it all went wrong, I'll stand right here before the Lord of Song with nothing, nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Hallelujah.